can't sleep, trapped in my own mind.
Anxiety.
Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
It's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists,
But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I am doing okay. I'm dreading this holiday. I'm dreading the week. I'm dreading seeing family. And I'm kind of ready for things to just stop for a little while. I'm ready for this plane to fly overhead right as we start recording. What great timing. But again,
no matter
this
what
podcast
show
is
on.
Not edited, so...
No matter what show we're on, they are an expert at flying over right when we start recording.
I guess they've started a new flight path right over our house or something. Jesus. But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm ready for things to stop for a little while. You know, it just feels like there's been a lot going on and I'm tired of it.
Now that is relatable for sure. There's a lot going on this time of year.
Yeah, I'm very ready to not be doing things. So how are you today, Jay?
Oh, gosh, I'm tired. I have been in my feelings all week, and they're just getting stronger and stronger, and I think it all depends, well, relies on the fact that I am working this week, and I have 14 and a half days off coming up starting at 11 a.m. this Friday.
Oh, damn.
And I'm so unbelievably ready for that it's just like, everything's making me feel fed up.
I feel that. That's vacationitis.
It's bad. It's as I don't know if listeners know, I have had my car in the shop for 47 days now because they don't know when a transmission will come in, and it's a 3-year-old car with 50,000 miles, and so I kind of just snapped today, and I wrote a very, very detailed letter in prep that I'm about to send to Toyota, and my attorney was like, here's what you should minimally ask for, and it's like trade-in assistance or an upgrade to a new car of equal quality for all this stuff. And she sits there and goes, don't ask for anything less. And I was like, okay. And she's like, because there's already history that you can like pull up attorneys and get more. And I was like, they are a $219 billion corporation. So surely this wouldn't hit the pocketbook too hard.
I'm sure it won't. They can do that for you.
And so I just have snapped and I did that. And my parents texted today asking if I was coming up to Christmas. And I said, no. And then I got this slight guilt text saying that my 96-year-old grandmother wouldn't miss it for the world. And I said, well, she lives 15 minutes away and I live 3 hours at least. And then my sister texted me later and I went on kind of a big rant. And I was like, I'm not directly mad at you. I'm just very frustrated that everyone tries to text and guilt and show interest in me, Yet, nobody ever FaceTimes. Nobody ever comes and visits. I'm selling a house that I've owned for over 9 years now that none of you have been in for more than 2 hours in that entire time frame. I'm tired of putting forward effort for a family who does not put it back on me. You guys can FaceTime. And I was like, it just infuriates me. And I know that mom talked to you today. And so now you have this kind of mediator obligation because you're a people pleaser. And I was like, I'm not falling for it. I'm tired. I'm taking time to myself. And it was funny. Her response was actually, yeah, they actually do the same thing to me. And I said, but you don't set your boundaries. And I have finally flipped that switch where I'm doing it.
Yep. It's well deserved. I mean, that is fair. What you are doing is fair. What they are asking of you is unfair.
I won't deny the fact that while I am frustrated and everything, it feels so strange and you feel so guilty setting up these boundaries on your family that you haven't done for me for 34 years. I'm 35 now, but it's hard. It makes you really second guess yourself a lot, and you have to really convince yourself why you shouldn't second guess yourself.
Yeah, I am still struggling with that. Certain things, like these holidays that I really don't want to go to, but I'm going to them for my grandmother and for my niece. Now, granted, it's an hour drive for me, but like, and it's really even at this point more my niece than my grandmother, but I don't enjoy it, and I don't make Joe go because I don't enjoy it, and I know he doesn't enjoy it. What I do enjoy is the time with my niece, so at least I get that, but...
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I don't enjoy it. I'm driving 3 hours one way to go have barely any conversation because nobody talks to me about anything besides my dog, my job. And now I think they're even disappointed that I'm selling my house and renting because they think that's a bad idea, I'm sure. And so we get to talk about that stuff. Like, nobody gets involved in my personal life. And I'm like, I don't want to invest time in you guys.
I mean, I wouldn't want to either. I barely want to. Like, my grandmother at least expresses interest in my life. So at least there's that. But like... Yeah, I understand. I don't want to go get talked at about things I don't want to talk about for, you know, several hours around people I don't want to be around for several hours. Like, no, absolutely not.
I mean, exactly. And then on top of that, I kind of feel like I've triggered myself accidentally. Not this last weekend, but the weekend before, I kind of went, I guess you could say it was a date. Like, it wasn't a full-blown, we're going to go to dinner and fall in love. It was more of like a, let's meet up, have coffee. I know we've kind of known each other before, but we've never really done this. And it was fine. Like, nothing bad happened. We're not romantic in any sense of that sort. We've been on a couple. And I don't think I'm ready yet. I thought I was. And then now, like, I'm on these dates and I'm just like, I don't like this. I don't like it at all. It's just, I really liked what I did have. So I guess I haven't adjusted to it yet.
Yeah, I mean, that would make sense. Because how long were you and your ex together for?
Year and 9 months?
So almost 2 years. And how long has it been?
3 months?
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable then. You fall into a rhythm after a certain amount of time.
Well, it's weird because, like, felt fine. I was like, oh no, like, I fully understood the situation, and it's not like I'm like you know, when you're like so stuck on someone, you're just like, oh my God, I'm ruminating over thinking about them. That's not what's happening at all. Like, I don't ruminate over the situation. Just don't feel like I'm ready yet.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously something is triggering that feeling, especially when you're around other people in sort of a date sense, because that's where it's popping up at, right?
Yeah, because it's, I mean, this person wasn't bad at all. Like, I have no complaints, but I just was sitting there going, I want to do this.
Yeah, I don't think I can relate as much on this because I just haven't had to date in so long, not with any sort of like, not in any sort of real sense, I guess.
Yeah.
But I am noticing lately that Joe and I have fallen into this sort of complacency. And so now I'm at a point where I'm like, we need to start sort of dating each other again in a way. Like, we need to start doing the things that we really enjoyed together. Cause, you know, we didn't like we used to every year, we'd take one trip for maybe 3 or 4 days and it was just us. We weren't going to visit anyone. We weren't going to see family or friends or anyone else. And we would just go and enjoy each other's company. And we haven't done that in like 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's so easy for that time to fly.
Mm-hmm.
That you're just like, oh my God, we haven't done this. It's...
Well, and it sort of fell into year before last, we were going to go do it. And then it got snowed out. Like literally the place called us and refunded our money because they weren't going to be there. So we got our money back for it, but, and we ended up having a nice little weekend at home because it was snowy out and we just, you know, we didn't go anywhere.
God, I'm ready for snow, but it's almost 70 degrees right now on recording day.
I know. But then like, you know, the year after that, I started a new job and then it's just, you know, it's kind of been a series of things and I'm realizing that I need some downtime. I need some me space. And I'm getting a little over-peopled, and it's not that I don't love any of the people that I'm spending time with, but it feels constant. Like, there is always something happening, and...
Well, you've been on the go. You've had a lot of obligations on top of our shows.
Yeah, and work. And work has been...
Oh, yeah, and a job.
Huh. Yeah, that also is driving me crazy the last probably 2 weeks. And it's because I do care about my work and I do want to do good work. And we have this giant issue that it's a big issue, but I don't have an answer for it. And it's not my fault. I'm the one doing all the research. And I've manipulated the data 2 ways to Sunday and I can't figure it out. And so I think it's just a lot of stuff happening at once.
Yeah.
And I'm an introvert. Like, I am an introvert at heart. I need that downtime. I need that me space. And I've almost found myself guilty, like feeling guilty for taking it. And anyways, yeah, that is completely off topic of your dating life. And I pull focus and this isn't about me.
No, I was listening to you and I was pulling up my camera because I have my patio door open. So I wanted to make sure that the doggy was doing fine in the house.
But that is to say, I don't envy you having to also not having to date, but being in a place where you are dating and then having everything else happening at the same time.
Well, and what's funny is I don't think it fully triggered until I decided to step up our game on this podcast social media, because I have really lacked this year on a lot of social media because I just kind of fucking burnt my brain out for a while. And so I was like, okay, I have to do what I need to, but so I've stepped up my game and I ended up posting some stuff. And one of them that I posted that's kind of been one of our most popular so far is all they are is just me putting pictures with kind of a narration over it. That's, I did one narration myself, but I basically just have TikTok doing the rest of them. But this one literally just says, love isn't just about the person. It's about the way they made you feel. The warmth of being seen, the comfort of belonging, the spark of possibility. And when it's gone, you don't always miss them, but you can't help but grieve the feeling. Grieving love isn't weakness, it's recognizing that something once filled a part of you. A part that feels empty now. It's okay to sit with that emptiness for a while, to honor what was. So if you find yourself missing that feeling, let yourself grieve. It's not dwelling on the past, it's clearing space for the future. A future where you'll feel that spark again. Perhaps in a different way, but just as deeply. And I don't know what it is about that exact quote that I wrote. Well, had ChatGPT and me help write. It's hit really hard. I don't know why.
I mean, it makes sense because it's... I think that's where I find the most comfort in my relationship is the feeling scene. And having it feel like somebody knows you for who you are and you can be yourself around that person. And yeah, it just, there's something about it where I've been in relationships where I wasn't seen and I've been in multi-year relationships where I wasn't seen. And that's not their fault necessarily as much as it's also my fault for not even being able to see myself.
Yeah. I mean, that was me with my nearly 8-year relationship. I didn't see myself, let alone him seeing me at all. Oh my God, we were a terrible couple, but it took years to figure that out.
Well, and sometimes you just do the thing because that's what it feels like you're expected to do.
That's what I thought I was supposed to do. And I thought, well, somebody likes me, so I definitely have to adapt to that. And now, like, after getting so much more involved in mental health, I've kind of turned into this, well, I really like me. Like, why should I see myself as, well, if somebody likes you, then you have to just accept that whether they're good or bad. Like, I like me, so of course somebody else is going to like me that I'm going to like back.
Yeah.
So I was like, you can't just settle.
Well, no, and you shouldn't. And I don't think that's a good way to go. It's just going to make you miserable if you settle.
I thought, been there, I ain't doing that again.
Yeah, but I also think it's a lot of time. It's funny to think of like a younger me and how I was going about my ideal partners. I'd be like, well, they need to be this and they need to be that and they need to have these qualities, not these qualities. And now I'm just like, you know, I don't think that's how that works. Like, I don't think you find somebody who meets a checklist requirement of things. You find somebody who it doesn't really matter what it is that they're like necessarily, but there is a connection there. There's a piece of you that connects with that person in a way that you can see each other for who you are and you appreciate that.
I always tell people, because I know a lot of people who checklist it out. There's a long checklist of things they have to meet. And I'm like, it's fine if you have preferences. As an example, like, I'm not interested in a smoker. I don't like that smell. I have nothing against them. I just don't like the smell.
Right.
I don't want that involved. People that may do things unethical. Shit like that. Like, there are standards you can set, but if you start going, they have to have this salary, they have to have this look, this height, all of these silly, silly things that don't make up a person.
Right.
I think you're completely dwindling down your opportunity to meet an actual good person for you because you've filtered them out like a job application.
Well, and you're not, at that point, you're not really looking for an ideal, like, person to love.
Yeah.
You're looking, well, you're not looking for love, you're looking for the idea of love.
Or the image, yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like how parents will have kids and be like, I love them regardless, and they come out and they're like, you have to get out of my house. And it's like, you didn't really want a kid, you wanted a kid that was the idea of the kid that you wanted.
Yeah.
So if the kid doesn't, you know, grow up the way you want them to, then you're disappointed. And that meant you never wanted a child. You just wanted the idea of the child.
Yeah. which that's, I mean, that's my life basically, is I have a family that gaslights themselves into going, well, we just won't discuss that part that we're unhappy with, and we'll just stick with the parts we're happy with. And that's kind of what I'm putting all my boundaries on.
Yeah, and that above anything, I think, is a great reason to not go. I mean, you've got 100 more other reasons, but I mean, at least with my family, like, they ask me about Joe, and they ask about, like, how we're doing, and they ask about how Joe's doing.
Well, and yeah, so, they have no clue what happened to Frank.
Yeah. Oh,
well, yeah. I try to say not to say the name, but I messed up on that, but oh well. It's not like, yeah, I haven't said it before. Yeah, they have absolutely no clue that we split up months ago now. Because they don't ask.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like at this point, like, my grandmother, my niece would know immediately. And then my mom would know because of my grandmother would tell her. But, like, my parents almost never ask about my personal life. It's really very annoying. And I don't know if it's because it's a generational thing. But it's just, they call and talk at you. And so in that aspect, our parents are very similar.
Yes, that talking at you, just, they'll ask you a question and it almost feels like you just have to answer it so they can move on to what they want to talk about. Like, they feel obligated to be like, oh, well, I guess I need to ask you, like, oh, how's Reggie? And then I'll be like, oh, he's fine. Well, anyways, Donna, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
I know.
It's so weird to me how much they tell me about what my other family does. And I think it bothers me more because it's just, it's always the family members that do what they're interested in. Like, oh, so-and-so does bronc riding. And they tell me all about what he does bronc riding and how successful he is at it and how he, blah, maybe doing this and how great he is. And I'm just like, I don't really have an interest in that. Kudos to him. But every time you guys talk to me, you always talk to me about the relatives that do bronc riding and their marriage and all this stuff. Nobody asks me these things. Nobody has this information to tell anyone.
That is so fucking annoying. Good God.
I know they're expecting me to just purge this stuff, but it's kind of to the thing where I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time if you're not going to show interest.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the thing. Like, I understand that if you want somebody to know about you, that you should sometimes be offering information, but if there's not enough interest there for them to ask you any of the most basic things after the course of years and years and years and years, man, it's not really on me at that point. Like, I've been living a life. We have these familial bonds. You're the one who has this expectation of me being there for you in these moments. But you're not even remotely interested in me as a person. You want me there as some show of family love. And I don't think that's even really right, because real love takes an interest.
There was back in 2020 when I was definitely in a depressive episode during COVID, and oh my God, I was so bored at my job at the time. I was in a position that I couldn't get out of. And anyways, I remember being at my parents' house. This was the last time I stayed because it flipped a switch for me. And I bitched about how I'm depressed and I'm unhappy there and I'm going to have to change jobs. I can't do it anymore. I've got to escape. I'm unhappy. And all they could kind of do was go, oh, yeah, okay. I walk off to go to the shower and I grab my stuff. And as I'm walking out of the bedroom, I can literally hear them talking about how stupid I am for wanting to leave my job and things like that. And so I just sat there and listened. I never called them out. I don't think they've ever known that I heard it. But I'm just sitting there going, it's the safety of me having this job that you're so focused on that nothing about my mental health and my happiness mattered. It was purely how much I'm getting paid.
Yeah. Good God. Which
I understand. I don't get me wrong. I do understand that generation is so focused on safety and security of jobs because that is their focus. The fear of being out of work and not being able to take care of yourself, that's such a thing in their mind that they wipe away so much that's important, like my mental health.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's a generational thing too, because that's sort of how they were raised. And I understand having it by default, but I think it's the inability to listen and learn that is frustrating when dealing with parents and family, especially because not every person of their generation is like that. There are people who are obviously very different. I mean, take Joe's parents, for example. Joe's mom and dad ask me way more about my personal life than my parents ever ask me. They know way more about what I'm working on and what's happening than my parents will ever. Not because I'm not offering the information, but because they just ask.
One of my very good friends' mom asks me more about my personal life and my relationships. Mm. And things like that than anyone in my family.
And so I think it's the expectation of you having to be present because you are family for people who are not interested enough to even ask is almost insulting, you know, because I'm not obligated to this. I'm not, no. There's nothing to make me go there. And if you aren't going to have enough interest in me as your child or as a human being to have the decency to, one, respect me for who I am in general, and two, ask questions to me that you like to have an interest in my life, why? Why am I going to spend my time doing this? Because I'm not going to get anything from it. I'm not going to feel happy while I'm there. It's just going to make me resent you more.
Yeah. I mean, every time the past few years I've done that drive, I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, this sucks. I don't even enjoy being there. And it's so wild to me how much I don't enjoy being somewhere with people that raised me. And like, everyone's like, you're supposed to be close with your family. And I'm like, but I'm not, and I don't know how to be when they don't know how to be close with me.
And God, I relate to this on a cellular level because I resent spending time with my family in so many situations, especially my parents, and God love them. It's just because they are so self-absorbed. So day after tomorrow, I have to drive up to Kansas City for my dad's retirement party. And my mom has tricked me into taking her with me because she told me she wasn't going to go and asked me to go because she was going to be way too sick and she didn't think she was going to make it. And so I was like, well, I was planning on going anyway because, you know, as much as like it's a retirement party, it's like a one time thing. And so, you know, now I'm committed to going. And then she's like, well, calls me, oh, I'm feeling better the next day. And can I ride with you up there? And I was just like, okay, that was fucking annoying. But we're going to sit in that car together for 5-ish hours because she's going to want to stop a lot. And she is not going to ask me a single goddamn question. I'm going to get talked at for 5 hours. When I could have been listening to an audiobook or a podcast or doing literally anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And that's the dynamic. That's what's going to happen. Like, it's just like, yeah. And I'm going to resent it every second of the drive. I'm contemplating driving back down that same night, even though it's going to be a 4-hour drive back. Man, I don't want to fucking be there.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's kind of like one of those grueling days where you're like, fuck, I have to drive so much and do all this, but, and it sucks, but then you kind of gain that extra free day.
Yeah.
And it's like, nothing's planned and I can just die a little bit with myself.
Which I'm going to have to. I'm going to need to recover from that because it's just going to be, yeah, 4 or 5 hours of, it's just anywhere in that range, somewhere in there, depending on how much we have to stop.
Yeah.
Of just being talked at and then being asked my opinion on something that is not going to be taken into account anyways.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. God, even talking about it now is making me dread it even more, but.
Well, I'm glad I can help.
Yeah. Maybe I can land myself in the hospital before then. I told
my
coworker.
You know it's bad when you're like, well, maybe there's a, you know, a drastic situation I can create that would prevent this.
I told my coworker that I was going just to prepare him. And he was like, oh, good for you, man. I was like, no, I would rather be here. I would rather be here digging through fucking numbers more about the same thing I've been digging through numbers for the last 2 months. I would much rather be bashing my face against a spreadsheet than doing this because it's just that awful.
Well, and then I go to like these family events and I'm so distant from the rest of my family because, well, with mom being uncomfortable with my homosexuality in the first place, for the rest of my life, it's put this kind of awkward wall and with me and the family because we hide that part now, even though I don't really know how everyone else even feels about it.
Yeah. That's so fucking weird. What a
so
weird
strange
thing to put a divide in your life over for no reason whatsoever.
Well, shame. Shame, shame, shame.
Shame indeed.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.